Thank you very much for that. Praise God. Thank you. Steve, I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. I thought we could take a bit of a different look at Easter today, so without further ado, Merry Christmas. What I'll do actually is we're going to look through a different lens around Easter this morning. It builds on what we've been talking about this morning, and I guess it's a case of if you didn't think what you've heard so far is for you, then maybe these next few minutes might be reinforcing that actually all of what you heard this morning is for you. Are you ready for all that the world wants to throw at you? Are you ready for all that the Lord wants to enable and empower you to do? So it's a slightly different question. So what does it look like to live ready, not in fear, but in steady, thoughtful expectation of what God is preparing you for? You see, Jesus says, if you aren't ready, come to me. If you are ready, still come to me. And all of what you've heard this morning so far is basically saying, come to me. That's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to come to him, the risen Lord, this morning. So we're going to have a look at the life of Peter. You see, Peter's an interesting character. He's one of my favourite characters in the Bible because he is chalk and cheese, either side of the resurrection. And so was he ready for everything that God wanted him to do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But once the resurrection happened, there was a big change in Peter's life. You see, before the resurrection, he was called by Jesus, but he wasn't ready. He probably thought he was ready, but he wasn't ready. And you see, Easter is not just about what happened to Jesus. It's about what the risen Lord Jesus can do in us as a consequence of what Easter is all about. Today, now, in the moment, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, that's what Jesus can do for you in your life. And Peter's a really good example of the change from somebody who isn't ready to somebody who is ready. You see, Peter, before the resurrection, well, he was a really passionate guy. He was somebody who was bold. He was in the moment. He was deeply committed to being a disciple of Jesus. But actually, if you look at his life, there were several patterns in his life before the resurrection that actually maybe you might just want to reflect on. So let's just have a look at those. So Peter was overconfident in himself. You know, he was always thought he was stronger than he really was. You know, he said to Jesus, and even if it all fall away, I never will. You know, he was really there in the moment being bold. And yet when the pressure came on, he collapsed in a heap when he denied Jesus three times. You see, Peter was trusting his own strength more than he was trusting God's. He was spiritually unprepared. When Jesus went with the disciples to Gethsemane, what did Peter do? He had a quiet nap in the corner. So hopefully nobody is having a quiet nap in the corner at the moment. And Peter just completely underestimated the spiritual battle that was facing Jesus, but also the spiritual battle that was going to come and face the disciples. You see, good intentions, and we may well have good intentions, but if we're not spiritually alert, then we are going to be in problems. Peter was driven by emotion and not by understanding. And Peter, you know, if we look through the Gospels, he was always there impulsively, saying things, putting his foot in it, when it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was first there with the sword to cut off the servant's ear. He tried to prevent Jesus' path to the cross. He was impulsive, but he didn't understand what Jesus' mission was all about. He didn't really grasp it. Fear dominated his actions. You know, despite the outward-facing, bold personality he had, fear actually controlled him. You know, he followed Jesus at a distance, it says in the Gospels. He denied Jesus to a servant girl, and he fled the courtyard in tears. You see, Peter's courage was real, but actually it was pretty fragile. Failure, perhaps, because what was he doing? He was trying to do things in his own strength. So who here identifies with that Peter? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. You don't have to put your hand up. But it's a question, though, isn't it? Perhaps we just need to ask ourselves, is that those character traits, are they things that, emotions that we go through? Are they things that actually perhaps we just need to reflect on? But fortunately, there was a turning point for Peter. You know, Scripture, and I hadn't really clocked this before, but Scripture, when you look at the verses really carefully, it indicates that perhaps there was a private meeting that Peter had with Jesus after the resurrection. And I don't know about you, but if I was Peter in that moment when Jesus came and sought me out, the risen Lord, and had a quiet word in my ear, that is quite extraordinary. And do you know what? Each and every one of you sat here this morning, Jesus wants to have a quiet word in your ear. You know, it doesn't matter where you are right now, whether you, what emotions you're facing, what anxieties you have, you know, what family situations you're involved in, whether you're thinking about getting into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus, Jesus wants to have a quiet word in your ear. And the reason why Jesus had that quiet word is because it put put Peter on a path of restoration. So maybe this morning, if you want to be on a path of restoration, listen to what Jesus is saying to you this morning. You see, then Jesus made it public. So he had the quiet word, and then there was the public affirmation of who Peter was. When Jesus said to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" and going on, "And feed my sheep." So turning Peter around from the fragile personality who he was, who he had become, to being somebody who had a hope and a strength and a future. See, Jesus didn't just forgive Peter for all that had gone before. He was actually recommissioning him. Do you feel that you're in a place where actually it feels like you're in a hollow? You can't see out, you can't see the countryside around you, you're stuck in this hollow. Maybe you're stuck in the mud and mire of the hollow. Let me tell you this morning that Jesus wants to recommission your purpose, to change the direction you are, to get you out of the miry clay, as the psalmist writes. He wants to recommission you. But you know what? Peter still wasn't fully ready. Not until Pentecost. Because once Peter had encountered the risen Lord Jesus, he then needed the Holy Spirit to come. Because that's really when everything changed. Yes, the relationship had been restored with Jesus. He'd been recommissioned by Jesus, but now the Holy Spirit comes. And so Peter changed from fearful to fearless. Because the man who had previously denied Jesus now stood up in the temple courtyards and proclaimed who Jesus was, proclaimed the gospel message, the good news. And how many people came to the front? You know, we often have meetings, don't we, where we say, if you want the Lord to come and bless you, then come to the front and we'll pray for you. Imagine 3,000 people coming to the front. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit can have on our lives. And as our good friends who've been giving out Bibles on the streets, that's the difference when the Holy Spirit comes and gives you a purpose, a message to take out into the world. Not here on a Sunday morning, as good as this is, to celebrate together, but actually to take it out to the people in the streets. That Jesus has made the difference. You see, that impact that Peter had where 3,000 people came to the front, that's not natural courage. That's not the old Peter. That's not the boldness that Peter used to have. That is spirit-empowered boldness. You may think, I can't get out into the streets. I can't have that conversation over a cup of coffee with my neighbor. But actually, if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and work with you, then you will have that boldness. Peter moved from impulsive to being spirit-led. You know, Peter's actions from that moment on, when the Holy Spirit came and fell on them in the upper room, his actions became more purposeful. He heals a lame man at the temple gate. Not because the lame man particularly reached out to Peter, but just because Peter was passing by and had a message from the Holy Spirit to confront that man and say, what do you need? What do you want? What, you know, silver and gold, I can't give you. I can't give you any alms. I can't put money in your hat. But what I can do is I can pray for you and ask the Lord Jesus to come in and heal you. And that's exactly what happened. Peter confronts the Sanhedrin with clarity and a calmness that wouldn't have been the same old hot-headed Peter that we knew before. He discerns deception in the early church. You know, in the world we face at the moment, watch out for the deceiver in our churches, in our Christian environments, because that's the way the devil insidiously comes in and disrupts our church communities. And of course, he raises somebody from the dead, the little girl called Tabitha. What an extraordinary transformation this guy has had. You see, now his boldness is guided by God. It's not driven by his emotions, and it's not driven by chaos. So maybe you're struggling to be that bold person. Well, allow the Holy Spirit to come in and make a difference. Peter changed from being confused to having real clarity about the message that he was giving. He showed deep understanding of Scripture, of the cross and what it meant to him personally, and of course the resurrection that we celebrate today, the encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus. What's the reason for the hope that you have in your life? You know, the Bible demands that we understand what that reason is so that we can talk to others about the purpose and why it's different for us in our lives. Do you have that story to tell? Do you have that message to give? Do you have that reason for the hope that is within you? Because if you don't, you need to go back and think about, okay, what is that message that I could convey to others? Because ultimately what Peter was then able to explain, and which you could then explain yourself, is God's plan for salvation, for change. And that comes because the Holy Spirit impacted Peter's life. And the Holy Spirit can come and impact your life too. Peter changed from being a self-focused person to being a mission-focused person. Before, Peter was more interested in others and what they were doing and how important they were to Jesus. You know, Peter actually said in John 10, 21, what about him? Pointing his finger at John. But after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came, he shepherds the church. So he becomes a church leader. He welcomes Gentiles. Peter was a Jew. This wasn't really going to happen, was it? But the Lord said, no, you need to welcome these people too. And of course, ultimately, he suffers for Jesus with joy in his heart. You see, in Peter's life, it was no longer about his importance or his significance. It all became about Jesus' mission. What's Jesus' mission for your life? Have you explored that? Have you challenged that? Have you asked the Lord to show you what that is? Is it just to come to Bradford and Avon Community Church on Sundays and life groups and things like that? Or is it actually to do something else in the community? You know, we hope to move back into St. Margaret's Hall in the next month or two, back into the centre of the town. the town that we regularly pray for, the people that we regularly pray for. What are you going to do that's different because you're back in the town, celebrating on a Sunday? Could you be out in Westbury Gardens saying, hear that noise, hear that singing? Those open doors? Do you want to know what that's all about? What challenge are you going to do to make to the town? It's no longer about our significance, it's about Jesus' mission. So what made the difference? Well, it wasn't Peter's personality. That was always there. It wasn't his effort. It wasn't his natural gifting. And it wasn't his sincerity. You see, the difference in Peter's life was the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference we celebrate today. And of course, in a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating Pentecost. But that's the difference that comes to you today, because the cross has dealt with your past. The resurrection has given you a new future. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to live that future out. When you become the person that Jesus wants you to be. You see, before the resurrection, Peter clearly wasn't ready. Even after encountering the Lord, he still wasn't ready. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came into his life that suddenly he was ready. He became steady, a spirit-filled leader, the person that Jesus had always intended him to be. What do you think Jesus wants you to be? What's Jesus' intent for your life? It's a big challenge, isn't it? But you know me, I like challenges. You see, you can either be like Peter before Easter, where you try to follow Jesus in your own strength, or you can be like Peter after Easter and Pentecost, when he follows Jesus in the Holy Spirit's strength. You see, what changed in Peter's life was the power source. That was the difference. So what's your power source this morning? When you get out of here and you go and enjoy Easter Monday and the rest of the working week, what's going to be your power source? Is it your work? Is it the daily commute? Is it your friends? Is it your downtime? Is it the TV? Is it TikTok? What's your power source? So who identifies with the post-resurrection Peter? So bring it all back to you. So are you ready this morning? If you're not sure, remember this. One, the cross deals with your past. You see, when Peter failed, it didn't disqualify him. When we fail, it doesn't disqualify us either, because the cross covers our failure. So humanly speaking, if we had known Peter, and I'm kind of surprised the disciples still entertained who Peter was, to be frank, we would have cast him aside. We would have said, I'm not going to be friends with you anymore. Look what you did. Look what you said to the servant girl. Get out of here. Not interested. Two, the resurrection gives you a new future. Jesus doesn't just forgive Peter, he recommissions him. Do you want to be recommissioned this morning to have a new purpose in your life? And number three, the Spirit makes you ready. You see, the Holy Spirit coming totally transformed who Peter was, and he became ready. And the really exciting thing about the Holy Spirit is he heals the broken things. He strengthens what is weak. And he empowers those he calls. So are you ready for a new beginning, a new start, a reset? Are you ready for a change in the power source of your life? You need the Holy Spirit to come in and activate who you are, who Jesus wants you to be. So now it's your turn. So if that is you this morning, here are some words of Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, being ready requires a new start. And it starts with a recognition that you are weary and heavy laden. Maybe this morning there are things in your life, whether it be relationships. And I really felt actually this morning that when we talk about healing, it's about, we would normally say, well, that's about your physical attributes, isn't it? But actually, I think what God's speaking to us this morning about healing is it's about your mental health. It's about your relationships. God wants you to heal those things as much as he wants to fix a bad back or make people hear again or see again. He wants to deal with the emotional parts of your life. And I really think that was some real message for you this morning. So if that's you, then this message is for you. And perhaps you see what's happening in the world and you're anxious and you're worried about what's happening next. And Jesus says again, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So to conclude, Peter's story is your story. Peter was loved. You are loved. Peter was forgiven. You are forgiven. Peter was restored. You are restored. Peter was empowered. You are empowered. So it's not just about Jesus rising from the dead. Clearly, that's the main event. But it's also about Jesus raising you up as well to be the person he intends you to be. So if that's you this morning, we'd invite you really just to... Actually, I'm going to invite you, if you want to be that kind of person who wants a reset, a recommissioning, then just stand. Stand and we'll just pray together as we close. Stand with me. I want to be recommissioned. I want to be reset. I want to drive forward with a renewed purpose. You know, we'd just been away on holiday, and where we had a fantastic view to look at from the cottage we were staying at, but in the distance was a prison. And I couldn't help thinking when we were away on holiday, I was so glad there was a wall and fences and guard towers and CCTV and all the rest of it separating me from them. But you know what? I couldn't help thinking that if I was in a prison, I would be wanting to try and gain my freedom to be on the outside. If you feel like we sung it this morning, if you feel like you're in a prison environment, if you feel like you're hemmed in on all sides, then just know this, God wants you to be free of those situations. And as I said, particularly this morning, I really feel it's not so much about the physical healing, it's about the emotional healing that God wants to do in your life. It could be a relationship, it could be a family situation, it could be a work situation, it could be your own mental health. God wants to fix you. God wants to fix you. Let's just pray together. Father God, just bring your Holy Spirit now onto these people in front of me. Lord, as we go out of this place, we want to be different. We want to experience the kind of experience that Peter had post the resurrection and Pentecost. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to fall. We want your Holy Spirit to come into our lives so that we go out of this place with a different kind of purpose, a different move forwards, to be released from those prison-like environments, to be released from the past, the anxiety, the family relationships that have broken down. Lord, we just want to experience your emotional healing into those situations now by the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for that. If any of that has touched you and you want to speak to us, then of course we'll be here. So come and share. But I close the meeting now. There's teas and coffees at the back. Have fellowship one with another. The meeting hasn't closed, really. Encourage one another, help one another, build one another up. Anyway, have a beautiful Easter. When we were up this morning, just out of our bedroom window, there was just this amazing rainbow. Absolutely clear as you see them. All the colours there. And what a wonderful promise that is on Easter morning, isn't it? So just understand the promises of God. Thank you. God bless.